bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. It's the big show. No. It's the big show. Hello. And Alex has popped off. Jeez. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, why are we here? We're here to discuss all the things that go on in the week's technology news. And it's called the big show because it's big, to answer the questions of people that have written in. We talk about everything. There is nothing that you can't talk about on this show apart from Apple, because that's dealt with by the Mac show and the iOS show. And we don't talk a lot of photography because that's what we love. Photo show. We talk about the media show because we don't care. We'll just gloss over that. But we don't do media either, really, particularly. We're here to discuss the total week's technology. I've got a wonderful panel, only one of whom is drinking beer from the underworld, which is Chris Woods. Top left, we've got James Hart, stalwart. How you doing, buddy?
I'm very stalwarty, thank you.
Stalling.
I'm drinking fizzy vitamin type, supermarket own brand. What's that stuff called? That fizzy vitamin stuff that makes you go hyper. Anyway, I can get through the show, to be honest.
And I have to say, I'm a bit aghast, mate, because for the first time ever, you're unshaven on this show.
Yeah, well, do you know
how
what?
How dare you?
I didn't go to work today.
Either.
I didn't go to work today, and I thought, do you know, sod it.
It's only ranking.
I was Princess Bagel was on Twitter bemoaning the fact that I think she's out in Welsh Wales and she hasn't got proper broadband, and saying how much would it cost in data to watch all the British tech shows of the afternoon.
And that's Batwinch.
Was it Batwinch? Hello, yeah. Batwinch. Was it Batwinch?
Batwinch. Hello, Batwinch.
Ah, that's frightening. She's better than me, apparently.
Well, that's worrying, is the fact we've been broadcasting now for 28 minutes
exactly.
And eating up her bandwidth.
Half a gig of data at 720p. I do hope you're not broadcasting.
And based on the crap we were talking about.
Terrible. So, yes, and thank you very much to UK2 for providing my
that
beard
bandwidth
to you, the viewing listener. Does that work?
Inglorious 480p. Next to him, Alex G. Fox.
I shaved this morning.
Damn you, grow fast. So, you've been out busy working, mate, and you've only just walked in, so you haven't seen many of the stories, so we're going to take pity on you. So,
thank you.
You're welcome, mate. Are you all right? If tired?
Yeah, I'm perfectly all right. Yeah, excellent. I'm exhausted, but I'm ready.
You've taken the opportunity
by you guys
to rub the nose in the fact that you were up early this morning.
Oh, shut up. Don't do mornings. I don't do afternoons or evenings, but mornings especially.
Next to him, Sarah Gray.
Hello.
Drinking white wine this evening, not rosé.
Shave as well.
Been all right, Gil?
Yeah. I've had a good day, actually. Thank you. So,
excellent. Back in England, Blighty.
Yes. I mean, it feels like I've been here for so long now.
When are you due flying off again?
I go back to the Emerald Isle.
Don't do that, because that sounds like you're Pakistani.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Sorry.
When do you go back?
Next Friday.
Next Friday. Right, yeah.
God, it make it sound
not
like
Thursday.
I've been there, doesn't it?
Stop flying on a Thursday, for God's sake.
Oh, it's a Friday.
I know, exactly.
That's why I wouldn't fly on a Thursday.
Good. And Richard Harkness, Dr. Richard Harkness, how you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thanks.
Thank you for the advice earlier on. I will go to my doctor and they'll take a sample. What have you been up to, buddy? Not tidying your spare room, that's for sure.
No.
Jesus, what a mess.
This cacophony behind you is the result of our kitchen getting assaulted, basically.
That's a sodding blanket, you lying git. There's nothing there about that's kitchenry.
That's because, well, you know what it's like? The kitchen stuff gets displaced, which in turn displaces everything else, which displaces everything else. So,
have you got your kids in the loft?
Yeah, probably. I have no idea.
You've lost them. There's food in the loft, they'll find it.
Well, I chucked my car keys in the bin outside today. I'm just so mixed up, I don't know what the hell's going on.
All right, as long as your car was in there as well, that's fine. And next to him...
I wouldn't be worried to go to him for a diagnosis today, would you?
No.
It's a good job I'm not working, really.
What's wrong with me, Doctor? Ah, heal yourself. Next to him, Chris Woods. How you doing, buddy? Long time.
It has been, yeah. And once again, bringing up the rear, I'm always last.
Yeah, you must be pretty excited.
It's like primary school all over again.
Chris is from the F1 show, of course, which they've just had season testing at Jerez. Jerez.
Yes, that's right, in Jerez, yes. And Jerez. So I'm mirroring the testing season this year. I've actually been testing some new shoes.
Have you? Have you had a blowout yet?
No, they're more grippy than the previous set, though.
Oh, excellent.
On the corner.
How many paces until they fall off the cliff?
That's a good question, actually. I haven't done so much endurance testing. It's just been to the pub and back. But
good lad.
Give it a few more months.
Are they
inches
or full wets?
They are full wets, yes.
Full wets.
Yes.
For those damp floors.
They've been full wet recently. Have you seen what it's been like outside?
Yes. Don't feed me lies about full wets over you, 5-year.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The week in tech, what has been going on? So, Shantanu Narayan is the chief executive of Adobe, and he's been talking to cameras, and there's a YouTube video going out, and he was asked some questions about pricing for Adobe, and apparently didn't do very well. And I'd like to... put in for the job of PR with Adobe, and I'd like to give him the advice that it's because he's a thieving wee shite.
I couldn't agree with that more, actually.
Yes, Adobe, you're a CPU hogging thieving wee shite. There you go. There's where the root of your problem lies. Fix that, pricing issues will take care of themselves, I promise you. There's a new gaming machine out. It's called The Last Bar Fighter. And you can play it in male and female versions. And if you're not bad at it, your reward is that it dispenses beer into a cup at the bottom.
I say, yes.
If you suck at it, you'll be sober. If you're good at it, you'll suck at it because you'll be pissed.
Sure, this represents life in so many ways.
It does. It really does.
That sounds like a win-win from their point of view.
The Library of Congress has a plan.
Go on. This is interesting because I was thinking about this recently. If you're watching that Stephen Fry show where he did that sort of experiment where they all played a computer game on the side of a big building, did you see that? It was in London somewhere that he did it, and it was like a sort of basic arcade game projected on the side of a disused building.
Right.
But there was sort of two teams of about 12 people in each team, something like that. And it was really interesting because I thought, yeah, that's one of the things that is missing a little bit with gaming. Yes, you can play online and talk to people and, you know, whilst you're running around Call of Duty or whatever, but you're not actually with other people whilst you're playing computer games. And just looking at that, I was thinking, that you would be inclined to play that socially, wouldn't you?
Only until you couldn't see straight. Sorry, James.
I was going to say, the closest you get to social gaming down the pub is when you get onto one of those quiz machines and you end up with an all-bar riot trying to get one of the questions right, and then the person who came up with the answer quietly at the back going, I told you it was C.
Smart ass.
I'm sure I remember this right. I think it's part of a university. Some kids broke into one of the main towers and they converted the lighting system in all the in the rooms, and they put it all together and they made a giant Tetris board.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah. I do remember that.
Incredible. It'd be brilliant to do that with something like Canary Wharf on the weekends when they're using it.
Yeah,
okay.
I've just picked up a tweet, by the way. It's been made known that Will Green is officially going to try and run for Pope.
Oh, yes. Good call.
So far, he's really quite proud because he has me and at Peter1910UK who voted for him. So that's a good start, Will. I think you're in with a good chat there.
There's a small matter of the fact that he's not a cardinal. We might... not putting well,
the fact he's not a Catholic may not help either.
I believe there's a get out clause that stops you you can actually be a common man and the Pope. It's a very, very sort of, because the way that these sort of ancient laws goes, if somebody wanted to be Pope, they would change the law so they could be Pope. And so I think you Will Green as Pope. I cannot think of anybody I would rather have as the Pope than Will Green.
Well, Ian Mitchell has just retweeted back very quickly. Well, if you did a podcast that was weekly rather than monthly, I might bow down to you, Your Grace. Which kind of sums it up, really. There we go.
How would he be known? Pope Greeny the First?
Pope Greeny the First.
British Mac.
Tony in the chat room said, wouldn't he be the first ever atheist pope? Now, that really would be progressive of the Catholic Church. We're going to... do you know, Dorking could be the next pope. That would be very progressive. It would, wouldn't it?
Pope will eat itself.
Anyway, the Library of Congress has unveiled plans to preserve early US recordings. And that's not actually a funny story in the slightest, apart from the fact that I know the people that put the mechanical handling system in the Library of Congress. I did work for them years ago. And one of the interesting stories about the Library of Congress was that they designed it and they built it and it was wonderful and dandy. And they put all the books in it and all the foundations cracked and it sank 3 feet because they hadn't factored in the weight of all the books into the building specs.
Oh, no way.
Think it through.
The US Library of Congress is 3 feet lower than it's supposed to be. There you go.
Did that happen all in one go, or was it?
Well, basically, they trundled all the books in over a space of 2 weeks, and there was so much weight in it that everything settled, and the foundations cracked, and it's gone down by three feet. It's 3 feet lower than it's supposed to be.
That's brilliant.
Elon Musk.
Final word from the chat room on the Will Green as a Pope thing. It probably means he will only do a mass twice a year. Thanks, Paulums.
Well, there's a good point from Simon there. If Greeny was the Pope, then who would Johnny Ive be? God? Absolutely. Quite right. It's the first time I've agreed with Simon all year. Good grief. Elon Musk has called fake on the road test that was done by a guy who writes for The Times. John Broder took one of the cars out and came back and said that the battery was poor and the car's range was terrible in cold weather, and Musk said it was a fake article. And we've got Top Gear to thank for this, because after the Top Gear debacle where they said that the car was rubbish, they fitted trackers in it and they fitted data loggers, and Musk has come out with all the data loggers and shown that they deliberately undercharged it so that they could get an article which would grab the headlines. Well done, Elon.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, I applaud that.
Absolutely. Elon Musk is a god, as well as the fact he flies spacecraft. And
that's equally deplorable from the, you know, the journalist point of view.
No, can I just stop you there? You mentioned the word journalist.
Yes. Deplorable and journalism. Steady on. There's a movie coming out about being an intern at Google. It had to happen. It's all been filmed on the campus. It's got Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson in it, and it's called The Internship. And as old buggers, they take on an internship at Google and they get accepted. And I've looked at the trailer, and actually the trailer looks quite funny. So there you go.
Well, surely it should only be available on YouTube, though.
We'd hope so.
That's true, yeah.
And finally, yes, Britain is considering switching off the air traffic control system so that they can release a 5G spectrum.
But certainly when all those planes crash into the ground, it'll free up a good bit of spectrum, won't it?
So it certainly will.
There'll be half the number of people.
If you're thinking of flying to England, I'd do it now. If I were you.
They could double up. If they put cell towers on all the planes, then we'd have perfect reception.
Oh.
They just got to fly over us all the time. Think about it.
Yeah, good thinking. I've just realised why you're so big in the middle of the screen, Chris. I haven't adjusted the size of your screen. Do apologise, mate.
It's okay. I can compensate.
I'll sort that in a minute.
Him all along.
Once we start the stories.
I think actually that the idea of having the using mobile phone reception, because what you can do is they can monitor all the calls, and when anybody goes, a plane, they know that the plane is getting too close to where it should be.
That's bank hard left.
I can't understand why you're not in central government, James.
There we go.
We're thinking like that.
Excellent thinking, mate. You're wasted on whatever it is you're doing.
He's pretty wasted, yeah.
Yeah, pretty wasted. Lovely. Right, what should we start with? James, you wanted to sound off about people and podcasting.
Well, I want to... it's got nothing to do with podcasting. It's got all to do with bloody trolls again. There are people in this world There are people in this world whose only I cannot imagine. I was thinking to myself as I was having my tea, because what they want to do is they want to sue people for podcasts because they believe they had the idea and they've got the patent for it. These aren't people who help old ladies across the road. These aren't people who give generously to charity. These aren't people who want to make a good difference in the world. They just want to get some money for doing absolutely bugger all. And I bet they just sit at home watching kitten videos on YouTube. All in all, they're just complete.
Let's change his beat button.
Now, the whole thing about podcasting to me, and do correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Podcasting came from. I'll stop there. My work here is done. The whole point about podcasting is an extension of the really simple syndication. What happened was you had RSS feeds and someone had a great idea that what we could do is we could stick a little audio tag.
I think you might find it was it Adam Curry?
Yeah, say stick it. And then people adapted their RSS readers to be able to download the media content, and Bob's your Auntie Brenda, you've got yourself podcasts automatically downloaded to your machine. That nobody thought of that until they come up with the idea of RSS. It is part of this whole. I can't remember who I was reading, but they were saying that there are these things which, like, that have been part of internet, the way the internet has developed, that have been introduced, and nobody really claims rights to them. That people are actually now going, I think you'll find I had that idea back in 1984, and they'll present a piece of paper. They go, right, I'm suing you, and you just go, well, hang on a minute. Yeah, okay, so it looks maybe a little bit like your idea that you had, but it's completely different. It has a completely different genesis from it. And they're going, what they're trying to do, they're trying to go to people like how Stuff Works, which is a fantastically successful, popular podcast that they can go, oh, hang on a minute, they've got sponsorship, they're making a bit of money, we can get in on that deal. Most podcasters don't make any money from what they do. These guys are going out to make money off people who are actually getting an honest living out of entertaining people. That's all I have to say on the matter.
That seems like enough, actually. I mean, the point's got to be that we say this a lot anyway over the course of the weeks, but the copyright system and the patent system is broken because it was written for something that really doesn't exist anymore. It's the 1800s. It's the 1900s of legal enforcement of technology. It has to wholly be rewritten. And I've got a serious issue with people that claim patents when they haven't produced the physical to go along with those patents. Mm. If there is a physical to go along with those patents, there may not be. Admittedly, we like drugs and so on. But if you're going to claim that you invented podcasting, show me your podcast. Mm. Surely.
Show us the technology that you have come up with that has made this. The whole point is has made everybody's lives better. Have you done it? Have you? Hang on a minute.
I think there's also a point here, and I agree with what you're saying, Ewan, that extends that, as in not just with podcasts, but if you patent something, you shouldn't just be able to patent it and then squirrel it away and hide it so that nobody can use it. You should actually have to have some evidence to say that you've actually done something with it. Otherwise, why should you have the right to do it?
Or have a timescale attached to it, you know, that
within
you have to make it within X number of years, otherwise you give up the right to that patent.
Yeah. If you've clearly defined it exactly what you would have done in order to be able to have the patent in the first place, then you had to do something with it.
I think Arthur C. Clarke's a good example of this because, I mean, he effectively created the idea or the notion of a geostationary satellite. And everyone said, oh, you should have patented that, you made a fortune. And his attitude was, no, I shouldn't, because it was for the betterment of mankind for a start, and I couldn't do it myself. Mm. He would never have created his own geostationary satellite. So, you know, he let it go, but he came up with the concept of it, whether he was a child fiddler or not.
That's right. I mean, the whole thing about patents has got so silly. And, you know, I believe in the way that we evolve as a society is that, you know, the next person comes along, invents something, and it's building on the shoulders of giants, as they say. Mm. And what's happened in the IT industry in the last few years is that you've got big companies saying, oh, but, you know, 10 years ago, you know, blah, 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 you know. And it's just completely stifling that innovation.
I've just had to say very quickly, a hats off to Dave Weiner, who came up with the RSS thing. I forgot to mention him earlier. I've just seen a link to the history of podcasting that Windrider put in the chat room. Has he made money hand over fist over this? I don't think he has, because he's allowed this technology, as you say, for the benefit of everybody.
Well, the other thing it's fair to say is that the majority of podcasters haven't made any money either.
Exactly. Yes. Is that the EFF, God save the EFF, who have taken up this case and many other cases, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, to make common sense out of it. Because, and I think it's only organisations like that who aren't government backed, who are people who have the nous and the experience and the sort of hopefully the weight behind them to make these changes, that will be able to petition governments to actually wake up and get an idea of what the hell's going on.
Yeah, without the vested interests as well that they don't have, they can speak with from a point of view of not having that, so their argument carries a lot more weight.
Mm.
Well, if something's patently obvious, I don't think they should be able to serve anything against it.
James,
I mean, honestly, I think if you design a patent and you wait X amount of years for somebody actually to take your idea and do something decent with it and then try and sue them, I think you possibly should be locked away somewhere for a very long time for being the most obnoxious human beings on the planet. No, I mean, if I invented something tomorrow, I should then, I see something within a very short amount of time that somebody has then gone and taken my idea, not a natural progression of systems, which basically podcasting has become. If they just take my idea within, say, a matter of months and then start doing something with it, I've got a right to complain. But if I say to you tomorrow, I could even say to you today, I want to patent the idea of fuel-less, emissionless cars that can fly and park sideways with magnets. Maybe in 50 years that might exist, but I've got no right whatsoever to make a claim against somebody that does something which is the natural progression of the way things are moving.
Yeah, and that's correct, because the whole point with that is the patent isn't just the idea, it's also about how you implement that. And that's,
yeah, I mean,
you know, I could say, well, you know, I'm sorry, but I had the idea of, you know, anything, you know, 20 years ago, but if I didn't choose to do anything about it...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't give you a patent for that, though, Sarah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's how ridiculous it gets. And this is, I agree with Alex, you have to actually show that you're actually doing something with it, or at least the patent has to show how something works in order to be able to be granted the patent.
I should actually have to draw some plans and to prove that the theory behind my electric non-ignition magnetically parking car is feasible in terms of what technology is available today. There's no point in saying, well, in 50 years time someone will come up with an idea that will make that possible. It's complete nonsense.
Richard, you say you're getting crappy audio at the minute.
Alex looks like he's got a nice mic there on the video feed, but his sound quality is not great.
No, that's my voice.
He's tired.
Is that a hard
mic? No, everything else is coming through fine in my ears. So
sound terrible.
I'm using very high CPU here, so I don't know what's going on, but never mind.
Crazy talk.
If you're suing for patent infringement on podcasting, come and have a go. We ain't got any money to pay you anyway, so.
What's that? The comedian, Bill Hicks. Is it Bill Hicks?
Right.
And he had a thing once where it just reminded me of that, where he said, if you're anybody in the audience in marketing, seriously, kill yourself. I think
legislation should be that if you sue somebody for patent infringement or some kind of civil thing which doesn't actually involve any harm to anybody, having done anybody any harm, you should give the takings to charity. Just, you don't get any of it. You get to represent the charity of your choice with what, you know. And it has to be some kind of, you know, not some charity you've just invented to save up for a big telly or something.
Now then, Google has released the operating system for the Nexus 4. They've got 4.2.2 for the Android. Sarah, have you stuck
it on? Well, I won't be getting it because obviously I've only got an Nexus S, and as I found out a while ago,
it's for the Nexus 4 only.
They're stopping with Jelly Bean, but one of my colleagues at work has a Nexus 4, so I'll be borrowing hers as soon as she
Does she know you're borrowing it?
Yeah, she was one of the first people in the UK to actually get one. She got lucky on the first batch of them. So I already had a play with it early on. And it is a great phone. One thing, interestingly, I found out about it is you can't change the battery on it. And that immediately put me off it.
Why, though?
I know. Crazy.
No, why would you be worried about not being able to change the battery?
For me, because when you look at appliances that you use these days, the first thing that goes is the battery.
Actually, you can prolong the life of a product by swapping out the battery. It's as simple as
also,
that.
Also, if I'm going to be out away from being able to charge something for a long period of time, say several days, for whatever reason, then I might need several batteries.
I have to say, if you've got into the habit of having a spare battery in a device, you worry a hell of a lot less about the battery running out of power. If you've used an iPhone for God knows how many years, and you're looking at the screen, oh, we've got 5% left of battery. You've even got a setting on the iPhone that tells you what percentage you can put the percentage of the battery. I would challenge anybody who's got an iPhone. Have you got the percentage set up on your battery display?
Yes.
Yep.
Why? Because you're concerned about it running out. If you've got a spare battery, you don't care. It just goes, oh.
Sarah, do you walk to your parents' house in Ireland? Have we got this wrong? I thought you flew.
Harsh.
I guess you're camping in Wales before you swim across the Irish Sea.
Well, you know, maybe now you found me out. But just to illustrate the point, if you put my camera on, Ewan, this is what I use to charge my phone. There's a charger on the front, and there's a spare slot, and I've got a spare battery in there. And I do change the battery from time to time.
Yeah, I've just got a very small, you know, sort of size of a packet of gum charger that I carry around in my coat pocket in case my iPhone goes dead. But
if you've got somewhere to charge it.
No. You've got a little battery thing that you plug in and it away it goes.
Yeah, but that's
it recharges.
That's charging your battery. It's not. Last time I was on the big show, I think I mentioned it. I have reason that I hang around with quite a few solicitors because it's like a family business type thing, and they all still use BlackBerry and purely only for the fact that they can carry 3 or 4 spare batteries with them every day because they are on the phone constantly. They can't sit on the phone plugged into a wall. They don't know where they're going to be. They're going to be in a police station. They can be anywhere, and they stick with BlackBerry purely so that they can carry spare batteries. And they know they've got 100% charge at any time they need it. And, you know, it's a really big thing for certain business people that they must have the opportunity to be fully charged. I mean, that it's so important with, you know, time-sensitive things like solicitors. You know, if they can't answer the phone at any one time, it's not just people going to prison, but it's, you know, documents not getting sent and houses not being exchanged. There's millions of reasons why it's really, really, really important to have the knowledge that you are definitely not going to be out of battery.
So the question remains, why did Google say it's okay? The people who designed LG designed the Nexus 4, it's all right, you don't need to have a physical separatable battery. And the reason for that is because if you can make it so the battery is molded along the back surface of the device and it's not got a sturdy case and it's not designed to be removed, you get a thinner device. It's as simple as that.
Yeah,
it's a design feature, that's all it is.
Apple
have already done it, so it's proved that the majority of people don't care. But it doesn't mean it's the right thing. It just means majority of people will just go, oh, well, that's what's on offer. It must be okay. Well, there's plenty of people out there that maybe they're higher demanding people. I'm sure their demand on their phone is probably a bit more. But for them, it's just not okay.
But they're the minority. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, just thinking ahead. Hey, 6 months down the line, when your phone doesn't hold charge for more than half an hour, buy 3 of our induction chargers, spread them around your house, put one in your office. Boom, problem solved. $60 apparently each.
Yeah, what
happens
when you're out of the office all
day? The longevity of the battery is another issue.
Well, you leave one at your local coffee shop, you know, you've got to plan ahead.
What I mean is actually recharging phones, when you are really, really hammering hard on a phone, when you use it all the time, recharging it, say, twice a day, like an iPhone, some of them, you know, literally run it down 3 or 4 times a day, the battery in the thing does not last very long. So therefore, the phone has to be, you know, chucked away more or less.
I mean,
it's a big problem.
I mean, for a start, I've got a Mophie juice pack and I pull it out when I need it. And it's once in a while, I think, oh, I might be away from a phone point for a while here. It's a charging point. I put it on and I never run out. And what you're talking about, though, Alex, is a very specific, very niche case that's for the odd person. It's not for everyone by any stretch of the imagination. So if you're designing and manufacturing a phone, you do it for the larger part of your market. You don't do it thinking, well, there might be a solicitor in London who may need more than this.
No, I mean, I agree. I'm just telling you why it's not necessarily the greatest idea. I hate the battery life on an almost brand new iPad. I think it's a piece of rubbish. I would rather have an iPad which was slightly bigger, that when I'm in the middle of doing something photographic in, you know, whatever I'm trying to do, that actually plugging the damn thing in, it's still, all it's doing is it's still running down, but running down a slower rate because of the power that they've put into these machines is so great that even the normal charge of plugging in my iPad into the wall with the right charger, the right, they did the whole shebang, if I'm doing certain applications, it's still going down. It's not charging up, it's just going down slightly slower. And I just think, you know, I mean, I'm not a massively heavy user of these things, but once you start putting great processors in and faster this and faster that and faster the other, the batteries are not capable of keeping up with the drainage that the hardware in it is producing. And I just,
well, you can tell that. You can tell that because the batteries actually get warm in use.
Yeah.
If you're somebody like a solicitor, let's say, for example, I'm just thinking, you know, what you're saying there, Alex, and if you are a solicitor, there's no skin off your nose to replace a phone every year, every 2 years. Surely the battery is going to last you that long, even with regular recharge.
No, they don't. Because you've got to remember, these things are basically charging, uncharging 3 or 4 times a day. And it's all the time.
Yeah, but generally, it's just an
inconvenience.
Year,
what I'm saying right. is for a certain percentage of people. And also, you know, okay, you might not be on the phone 10 hours a day. On my iPhone, there's certain apps. If I run it, I can almost watch the percentage sign, you know, the battery percentage sign clicking down while I'm using these things.
I've got
one. I just think if you're producing a phone or anything like that, you know, if you're producing any piece of electronics where you're putting such high demand, you know, you're building a brilliant machine. You've got processors that are powerful enough to need that amount of battery drain. Well, you really need to put a battery that's up to the blooming job in the first place. And I don't think they do.
It's a problem from a legislative perspective too, because if you've got an integrated battery, when you recycle your phone, to get to all the gold and the silvers and things inside, they've got to take out all the lithium first. They've got to crack the case. It's extra cost. I'm surprised that they're allowed in Europe.
Doesn't it react with air as well once you crack the case? That's it.
Nasty stuff.
Chris, that's actually touching on one of the other two reasons why I don't like not being able to replace the battery. One of which is the fact that the phone will last less time than if you can, you know, than if you... than if you can change the battery. This is a lesson I learned many, many years ago when I bought my first digital camera, which had a rechargeable battery in it. And when that battery packed up, I had to replace the camera because I didn't have the option of changing it. So now when I tend to buy these devices, one of the things I look at is the battery and how easy it is to change it.
You won't have a device to buy in a year's time though, Sarah.
Well, then I'm quite happy with what I mean. You know, I've had this, the Nexus S has got a battery in it. One of the reasons I'll probably still have this in 2 years' time, even though Android are not going to update Jelly Bean on it. The reason for that is because when I get my tablet, I'll use it as a tethering device and it will go back to being just a phone. So I don't, that's fine because the Nexus 10 or the Nexus 7 will be the device that runs Android, and that's the one that I'm going to care about, whether it's got the latest version of Android on or not. Not the phone. This is just a way of actually connecting it to use the data.
But again, to go back to the iPhone as an example, to be fair, having taken an iPhone to pieces to replace the front screen on it when Ellis ran into it, I can guarantee you that the battery is a separate component. And if you've got the balls to pull your appliance to pieces, you could replace your own battery quite happily.
Right. So... That's good, but Apple don't exactly make that easy, do they? I mean, if you think about it...
But they don't need to for 99% of the users. Yeah, that's
the
my point.
The manufacturers that do this have got an incentive to do it because it encourages the user to change their phones.
No, I don't think that's the case because if you look at the iPhone...
It's not to discourage them, is it, Ewan?
No, but what is the necessity? I mean, I get there's a certain point with the Apple thing about the you look at the MacBook Pros and things like that now. There's a lot more sealed in. There's a lot more that you can't add on to. You have to buy the stuff that's there. In terms of the memory, if you look at the ones where they've done it with the memory and they've sealed the memory in, they've done it to save space. And if you look at the 21-inch iMac, it's there to save space so they can make it smaller. With the 27-inch iMac, because it's that much bigger, because the case is larger, they let you put your own memory in it. It's only the areas where they know that they have to save space. And the demand from customers is for smaller appliances and thinner appliances. And if you had an iPhone that clearly had a battery issue, you take it in and they say there's a battery issue with it, so you need to get it replaced. Apple is very happy to replace it in a lot of cases free of charge anyway. And also, if you bother to go and get yourself a new battery off eBay, it comes with a set of spudgers and it comes with a set of torque keys, and you can pull the entire phone to pieces and put your new battery in.
May I just comment on something you said?
Go on.
Just something I disagree with. Not a big deal, but you say customers demand thinner devices. I don't believe they do. I don't believe
it's a huge selling factor.
No, it's what they tell you is a huge selling factor. You actually speak to people, do you care whether this is 1 millimetre thinner or not? They would. I'm sure most people would say, I didn't even notice, I don't care. It's just, it is almost like the megapixels in cameras. It's a number that they want to throw at you to try and say that they're better than someone else. And I really, really, and I'm not just being my normal argumentative self, I really believe people really don't give a damn. I mean, fair enough, when you had original laptops, they weighed a ton. They needed to get smaller. They needed to get lighter because, you know, they're cumbersome big things to carry around. They've got to put an iPad. Doesn't make any difference to me or most people, whether it's, you know, 10 grams lighter and a half a millimetre thinner. I really don't think people care that much.
Yeah, if it's going to fit in your pocket, it doesn't matter whether it's 3 millimetres or 5 millimetres thick, does it?
That's ridiculous too, isn't it? Because things are getting bigger.
I don't wish to sound disrespectful to either of you. However, you are not the market they give a toss about. Because what they're interested in is people who say, I want the latest. And when people say to them, how can you justify buying the latest? Well, it's thinner, it's lighter, it's got a better megapixelage on the camera.
But if the latest wasn't...
But those statistics. Hang on, Alex. Let me finish, mate. Sorry. Those statistics are provided for the purposes of allowing you to justify the purchase. So it is what you demand. It is what you demand by default. It doesn't mean that it's better. I'm not saying it's better. I'm saying it's what you demand by default.
Yeah, but they're telling you that that's what you're demanding. If they didn't do the thinner, the lighter, they said actually we've made the battery life twice as good. And we've done this, that, you know, things are actually better. I think that would be a selling point. It's just that they tell you that your new selling point, that it's smaller and it's lighter and this, that and the other. If you notice with Apple, I mean, just happens to be a point that, you know, their phones were getting smaller, lighter and thinner. And then they brought out the iPhone 5. Well, hold on, that's a bit bigger, isn't it?
No, it's narrower and it's longer.
It's longer. It's a bigger device. It's got to the point where... You know, you could probably make a phone smaller than an iPhone, but it would be completely unusable because you wouldn't be able to type on it whatsoever because the keys are too small. So it's got to a point where it can't actually get any smaller unless we get smaller. You know, our fingers aren't little enough to type in the keys.
Yeah.
So it's purely, it's like the 3D telly thing. It's like all the other things. It's what we're told we want as the newest invention when it turns out 3D was rubbish. And didn't swear, I'm really glad. 3D was rubbish and people just didn't care. And so it's getting to the point where we're buying things on design because we're told that's what we should want. If they come up with something which is, you know, if they brought out an iPad tomorrow, they said, look, this is slightly bigger, but the battery is going to last you 3 days, I would give my iPad to the kids and go and buy a new one.
It's because we're in the trough of a wave, technologically, if you think about it. We've reached that point with technology, the current generation of tech, where can't really make it that much better. So if you're trying to differentiate to someone in the shop who's looking to buy a tablet, well, this one's half a centimetre thinner. Oh, I'll have that one. Why? The screens are the same. The software is to your average punter is basically the same. Android or iOS, they're both fairly usable. Same with TVs, same with radios, same with everything else. Until 4K comes along, it's going to be another 4 years. Yeah. You know, TVs are just going to be like, well, there's blacker blacks and brighter brights. And same thing with phones. You know, the Samsung phone's got a better screen than the iPhone, but people don't care about that because the iPhone's still...
So much more of the time it will be the marketing and the stuff they show, the shiny things they put on the telly, and the amount, and whether your mate's got one that does
it's
it.
Nickel and diming, isn't it? At least for the next couple of years, until someone comes out with a groundbreaking new tech that lets you do a micron thin screen, then it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if he's going to take something like, for example, a new battery technology or some other, or flexible screens or something crazy that people actually do take. I mean, actually, it's a hell of a risk for a company to innovate. That's the problem.
Yeah. When someone comes out with graphene commercially, that's going to be incredible.
I'm looking forward to graphene. Being.
But it's going to be like 5-10 years. It's so frustrating. So we're just going to be just middling along with these devices that are basically the same as the one before.
And CES is just going to get more and more anodyne because all they'll be doing is sticking smaller devices into bigger things and then bigger devices into even bigger things until you end up with a car which has got a telly, which has got a computer, which has got a Wi-Fi connection.
It's impossible for a human being to get into it. That'll be the trouble.
It's the Google self-drive house.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
If you'd like to get any of these five on Twitter, they're all at Victor Meldrew. They share the same account.
David.
Jesus.
Is the Nexus 4 still in quite short supply then?
I think it is.
Short supply, do you mean actual short supply or Surface Pro short supply? Bad.
I think I just feel like they've dropped the ball on it. I mean, the Nexus 4 looks like a very solid phone and a really good offering for a lot of people. They should have had much more of it out there.
Yeah, the Nexus 10 is exactly the same. I've been trying to get a Nexus 10 32 gig for 3 months.
That doesn't know to change your battery, does it?
You can get the 16 gig, but most people, I think, like me, probably want the 32.
Yeah, but you can't get a replacement battery for it.
Well, you know what? The innovation that would sell phones, and it would sell phones to lots and lots of
actually
lots
making calls.
That would be a hell of an advancement. But, I mean, I know it's pretty... I mean, it's not there yet, but something that's more or less guaranteed unbreakable when you drop it. Because there is not... You know, anyone with kids... I mean, you've had it yourself, Ewan. You know, your iPhone went bang. It probably wasn't much of an accident. It was just a little crashing to each other. Call me grumpy, but I love the old days when I had those little Nokias that you dropped on the floor and they felt a bit. And then you put the bits back together and you turned it on and it worked again. And there was nothing broken and things like that. If they could make something, you know, it's nice to have a smart looking phone and touch screen and all that. But
if they
could just make something.
It's called a skin.
Okay. I'm delighted.
Yeah, my phone had a collision with a 5'3" 8-stone 9-year-old, so it was pretty significant.
I'm just saying
he was
that
moving.
Would be a real selling point if someone said like
9-year-old proof.
This is a I don't know anyone made it. You could call it U.S. Army. You could call it the Swiss Army phone for all I care. But if one of the things you could say as a moving it on, it's a little bit heavier and it's a little bit thicker. But you try breaking it, I'd buy it. And if it made phone calls, I think that would probably be quite good as well.
Now, interestingly enough,
I guarantee you could get a line. That would be quite nice.
Interestingly enough, Richard's put in the chat room, iPad Mini with 4G, Bluetooth headset, why not? I had a taxi driver today who took me to get the wife's car OOT'd and brought me back. And he had a Note, a Galaxy Note. I said, do you like your Galaxy Note? He said, love it. He said, customer had it, let me have a play with it. I thought, I'll get one of these. So I got one of those. He said, I haven't looked back. I've had it for a year now, and I love it to bits. And I've always said
many
it's
intriguing. Many
taxi
drivers
me.
Don't look back.
And
or forwards.
The launch date for the Galaxy S4 is out there. This phone, I mean, I've been very impressed with the S3. I thought it looked extremely nice. And this looks iPhone dumpable, I would say. If you're thinking about moving away from it, from the iPhone and going to another device, I can't see why a Galaxy S4 wouldn't appeal to you.
Just remember, iPhone dumpable isn't permissible in Brazil anymore.
Well, no, your iPhone in Brazil will have Android on it more than likely.
Yeah, it should be called iTelefono.
iTelephoner.
Yeah. I think that's a
they
big
thing. They can't call it iPhone, can they?
Well, no one's jumping to that. Yeah, I thought it was quite an interesting story that, you know, somewhere in the world, you know, there's a court that may actually be not siding with the biggest company.
And where there's a huge manufacturing facility which places a great deal of emphasis on the income of that nation, and government haven't intervened yet. They certainly will, though.
Yeah, maybe they will, but, you know, there's a moment for the, shall we say, right rather than just power. And it's just one of those moments in the world that I sort of sat back and went, you're right, it won't last for long, but while it's there, it filled me with just a moment of, riot can actually be okay for a few minutes at least.
Yes.
Galaxy S4 is coming, definitely. They're talking potentially March, but it might be a little bit later. And there's no real word on the specs or anything yet, but they're expecting a 1.5 gigahertz processor potentially and a 5-inch 1080p screen with an eye-splitting 441 pixels per inch. So it's right up there with the retina elements of it. I like it. I think it looks really, really good.
Two very quick things. The first one, of course, Key Lime Pie, what are the benefits it's going to bring? We'll move on to that one. But firstly, whoa! Smartwatches, are they the future? It looks like Samsung are going to be bringing out their own version of the smartwatch with it, and maybe Apple are developing smartwatches as well.
Apparently.
Is this the cool thing? Because one of the guys at work has actually got himself because iPod Nanos were, for a short while, beautiful, square, and fitted in a watch strap, and I think that looks the dog's doodahs. And then you have that the digital, I can't remember what that smartwatch was called that they advertised at CES. But that doesn't seem to have made much of a much progress. But if a big name gets behind smartwatches, is that the coolest thing?
No.
It does worry me in one respect, because as soon as someone takes over a basic technology and makes it smart, the basic technology doesn't work. E.g., like you buy a smartphone, you can't make a phone call.
It stops being a watch.
You're not going to have to tell the time anymore.
Good point. Well made. You've got to push it into watch mode, and it takes a couple of seconds. Hang on a minute, just booting up.
Of course, a smartwatch is going to tell you the time. That's a crazy statement to make. But the problem that everyone has missed is that no one wears watches if they're under 35 anymore. I haven't worn a watch in 4 years.
Yeah, but why is
you trying to tell me you're under 35, Ewan?
No, I haven't worn a watch.
Stretch the imagination on this.
I haven't worn a watch in 4 years because my cell phone tells me the time. It's right in my pocket. I pull it out. I look at the time. I put it back in my pocket. Kids don't wear watches. The reason, the Pebble is great. It will sell by the bucket load to the 50-year-olds in the place. It is not going to sell to 20-year-olds. To 35-year-olds, because they haven't worn a watch in years. I will never buy a smartwatch because I see no point in it whatsoever, because I don't wear watches.
But I don't know, Ewan, because I think I know what you're saying, but maybe they would wear one because it would, especially if it's like a, you know, Apple, Samsung, it would be a fashion statement in itself, wearing one. And that's something they would buy into, you know, wearing the latest watch or what have you. And it's not just, see, a watch is redundant now, like you say, because you're using your phone all the time and you can see the time constantly. And it's a bit of a hangover of a bygone era, but a smartwatch would allow you to do so much more. I would love the ability to quickly look at my watch and see, you know, what the start of an email or the start of a text. You just go, all right, it's a rubbish one. I don't have to deal with it.
Are you over 35?
What, sorry?
Are you over 35?
I'm 36.
There you go. Point taken.
Well, it's either going to be that, right? Is that the
hands
next step
up
for Google Glass? That's
hands up, right, if you're under 35. Let's ask Mr. Woods, because his opinion is the only
one
that matters.
He's only 12.
Yeah, no, he's just got the brain of a 35-year-old.
I think I saw him wearing a watch earlier on in the show.
He's got one. He's just shown it. There you go.
Yeah. I wear a watch all the time.
And he's on mute.
Well, my children both wear watches, and I'm not old enough to have children over 35. Maybe Richard, they've inherited the old git.
Okay, right, that doesn't count because he's holding up a watch that's 35 years old. That's
Richard, don't be like that. No, that's me.
Finally, he's not on mute. Right, okay, go on, mate. What you got to say?
This is a great watch. It's fantastic. It does atomic clock syncing, so it always keeps its own time, whereas my phone, well, I'm always late for work because my phone's alarm is always like 35 minutes late. It's just terrible. I cannot rely upon my phone to do the one thing that it's supposed to do well, which is time keep. But I know this will work. And it's round my bloody wrist. Like, what's more convenient than that? I don't have to get the phone out of my pocket and muck about. It's just there. Like, why wouldn't you wear a watch?
Chat room's now asking how old I am and question if I really am 34. No, I'm just down with the kids.
Watches are going to become an extension. It's going to be a watch, but with bells. So yeah, it'll do what people are talking about, and you know, you'll have caller ID and stuff. You can have your phone on silent, and your watch will vibrate instead. It'll be skin contact, you know, with a small electrical charge or something, so you know that someone's calling.
You've got a situation at the moment. If you brought out a smartwatch, you will make sales. I'm not saying you won't make sales, but you won't.
If you did it on a Kickstarter, you'd make sales.
You won't make future markets.
No.
They've done the Pebble, they've made some sales. They're not going to make bulk sales. They're not going to hit the youth market. If the only way you will sell a watch to a youth market that's a smartwatch is if it's a smartphone and a watch. Until you get to the stage where a watch will become a phone and a communications device in itself, not a peripheral tied into a smartphone, you will not grab anyone under 35, and there is your big market for sales.
But this has the one
5 years down
core
the line.
This has the one core feature that my phone doesn't have: set and forget. The battery in this has lasted 7.5 years and it's still going. It's got about another 6 months in it. But 8 years out of a button cell battery is not
No
bad.
One's going to buy a smart watch because they reckon that it's got a decent battery life. The Pebble has only got 5 days. And all it does is show up a paper white screen. And it still only does 5 days.
They need to put some kind of kinetic charge into it.
That is something that's got to be cracked. I mean, I got a replacement a while ago. There was a recall on, I forget which series of iPods it was, but it was an older iPod, and I got a little Nano as a replacement, and it was the little square ones, like James was saying. And just for the hell of it, because I had no use for it actually, really, I got one of the straps and turned it into a little watch just to see what it was like. and the problem you have with that is how often you have to keep charging it up. And if you're not wearing it every day, and I quite like watches, you know, I'm of that age. I'm sorry. you know, if I'm swapping between watches and go to put that on, I'd often find the battery was flat. So then you sort of go, oh, right. And then you go back to your normal sort of analog watch again. So the charging thing is a big, big thing that they would have to crack, I think, really.
So it's either going to be nuclear power or AAA batteries.
No, see, I'm slightly different maybe from a lot of people, which I'll understand. No. But my life is about me resting my arms on a laptop with a keyboard support in the front with the glass iPad. So I rest a watch on that. I'm going to scratch the crap out of the MacBook Pro that I've got, and I ain't going to do that. It's my lifeline. It's my work tool. I treat it with the greatest respect, the same as I do my cameras. I'm also out and about an awful lot of places, and particularly through the winter, I'm gloves off, gloves on every few minutes trying to get things sorted out. And a watch is a pain in the arse with a set of gauntlets that come up to here. And if you then get PPE that goes along with it, and you get restrictive clothing that's high vis or something like that, with long sleeves with elasticated cuffs, a watch just becomes an enormous pain in the arse, which is why I haven't worn one for 4 years. I've got a beautiful Tag Heuer. When I was a kid, I was obsessed with Tag Heuer. I used to love Keke Rosberg racing around. He was sponsored by Tag Heuer. All the timing for F1 was done by Tag Heuer. I wanted a Tag Heuer.
Yeah,
and the minute I earned enough money to buy myself a Tag Heuer, I bought one, and it's upstairs and it's in a drawer, and I haven't worn it for 4 years, and I don't own any other watch. It's it. Once I got my Tag Heuer, that was it. I stopped buying watches. But I cannot wear a watch. It's just not.
Sorry.
It doesn't fit in my lifestyle. Alex, you don't wear a watch.
We do the same thing, yeah. We take pictures, we wear gloves, we use MacBooks all the time. And if I don't have a watch on, I honestly, it sounds daft, but I never ever go out without watch. I don't. The first thing I do in the morning, even when I don't know why I do it, it's obviously habitual. But even when I go into the bathroom to have a wash and brush my teeth, I put my watch on. And then when I get in the bathroom, I take it off again. Don't ask me why, but I've always got a watch on. And it doesn't get in my way. But the most important thing you're missing, right, about watches and the importance of wearing them is, where would James Bond keep his garrotting wire?
I was going to say, earlier on, that's what would sell.
And there's another frigging dinosaur.
You see, say that though, but right, I was in the car this morning with my son, and there was I wanted to take a photo. We went past a car which was absolutely bedecked. Somebody had obviously got someone they fancied at work. They knew which car it was, and they put Happy Valentine's Day and sort of put flowers all over it. I thought, I want to Instagram that. If I get my phone out of my pocket and switching the camera application on and faffing around with it, if I had a watch and I could just hold my hand out and go click, just like that, that would be brilliant. So that's like a garrotting wire for someone who doesn't like killing people. Or maybe not.
Maybe. The point is,
you have the GPS device.
You're trying to...
Oh, GPS on my wrist. There are so many things. The point is, it moves away from being a watch to being a wrist-mounted device. A wrist, putting something on your wrist is second only to having something like an old gentleman's pocket watch. That would be great as well. Having one for your pocket, you could just hold up. Something little.
I love podcasting with a bunch of old farts.
No, there is also some of the juxtaposition.
Ew, yes, we are.
You're grumpy and you're old-fashioned.
Says the man with a vintage Tag Heuer he's never worn.
If you're going to vintage. Call something a watch, it should at least have a screen on it to watch television. Because otherwise, why would you call it a watch? You'd have to be really boring if you sat there watching the hands go.
Have you got a set of X-ray specs that you can see through your hand as well that you got from Punch magazine or?
Yeah. I still want that button in the back
dandy.
Of my head so I can look through and see everything in Super Zoom. Or was that just my Steve Austin action?
We'll reconvene in a year's time. We'll see where the pebble is then, mate. And I bet you it's in your wastebasket.
The pebble or the Samsung light or the Apple, if Apple have bought it, Apple Watch. We'll see. We'll see.
Big mistake, I reckon. Big mistake.
Thinking hell.
What?
I've seen how much Tag Heuer watches are now.
Oh, yes.
Well, I could sell you a Moody one for a tenner.
I paid £1,400 for mine, and that's going back 20 years.
I can find.
Well, that was 20 years ago, so...
Yeah, I'm sure it was... look at me now. I didn't realise they were that expensive. Anyway, moving on.
What's all this crap with Facebook getting sued over the like button, then? No one...
I like that.
Someone said they were interested in the fact that Facebook got sued over the like button, so I thought you might have known about it, and you'd fill us in.
Yeah, it was actually me that put that in the... in the notes.
So tell us more, sir.
I can't remember.
Obviously someone with a death wish, because you wouldn't try and sue Facebook unless you had an endless pot of money.
I was going to say, good luck with that one.
It's a patent thing again, I believe.
Yeah.
Really? More trolling.
Yes, it is. That's why they're doing it, isn't it?
Is it trolling or trolling?
Trolling.
It's trolling, Sam.
Trolling, darling.
Yes, yeah, so us old farts, that's what we say, you see.
Trollaler. Quite.
All right, let's leave that story then, and let's do, because no one knows about it, let's do a Kickstarter project to build a TIE fighter.
Yay!
$11 million is being sought via a Kickstarter project to build a working TIE fighter.
The only problem I have with this, Ewan, go on.
Has vowed to fight the Empire by building a real X-Wing squadron, and they've also promised a Millennium Falcon for 13 million Galactic Standard credits. this is a genuine Kickstarter. There's something like £250,000 pledged already on this thing.
Good Lord. And that was, was that all raised before the petition to the US government to build a Death Star was cancelled?
It's either that or it's after.
I think it came off that, didn't it? Off the back of it.
X-Wing.
It's the they're going to bring the X-Wing. They're all talking about building Y-Wings as well. And they reckon that the stretch goal of the project is to build a squadron of X-Wings for
$4,485,000. Those are those fighters. Yeah, okay, I know what you mean. From Star Wars.
No, I reckon it's the US government that have given them the $250,000 because it's like, well, for $250,000, we might as well chuck it in because if they manage it...
yeah, we'll have that technology, thanks.
Yeah, we'll have that.
Apparently, as well. This is quite an interesting fact. The further goal, which is 13 million galactic standard credits for the Millennium Falcon, is going to cause them a bit of a problem. Because according to some historical data that they've got of when Star Wars was written, the galactic standard credit is estimated to be only worth 62 cents, which means that there's only $8 million available to build the Falcon, which may not be enough. So.
But also, you've got to remember that galactic standard credits can go up as well as down.
Thank you. Well pointed out.
And an interesting note on the news page that says that one update we'd like to include for our updated X-Wing is iPhone and Siri integration.
Great. That's good to know. Good to know.
You guys are talking a foreign language to me. The only thing I understand here is Star Wars. That's it.
Well, no, but it's a real project. And I'm guessing that Kickstarter wouldn't have allowed it in if it wasn't real.
Why would anyone want to build a Death Star?
No, this is the X-Fighter we're talking about, Sarah. Sound message, mate.
Oh, it's just silly.
No, Sarah, you're coming at the wrong angle. Why wouldn't you want to build a Death Star?
Well, yeah. The thing is, they've got...
Mr. Bond.
They've got... You know that Vader wasn't in Bond, right? You've got people that have put £250,000 in here, so they've obviously chucked something at it, thinking that, well, who wouldn't want it? I agree with Rich here. I agree with the young kid here in the corner. With a strange watch fetish. 36? 36, yeah.
No, so his opinion doesn't count.
I picked him.
35.
Okay.
I'm in a void now. I'm
quite scary to know that doctors are, you know, people that actually practice medicine are only 36. It's really scary to think that. Doctors should all be like almost as grey and bald as me.
In their
60s. Hey, you think you're worried about doctors who are 36? You're just children all over the place being taught by people who are 3 years younger than me. Being taught important things like science.
Scary.
You see, I'd like the X-Wing fighter. If I could go into a remote area of Cumbria and just see an X-Wing fighter go overhead, that would be pretty cool.
Why Cumbria?
What? Well, because that's where they do the military sort of flights and stuff. They do them over Cumbria and sort of Glencoe way up in Scotland. These remote areas of the countryside. You see some amazing planes.
They fly below you. You can stand on the top of the hill and they fly below where you are, yeah.
Is that like the British Roswell?
It's a bit like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, except no one gives a toss.
We don't care.
A crowdfunding for a Rebel Alliance X-Wing. There are 323 backers at the moment. They've pledged a total of $298,000, so it's nearly $300,000. There's 45 days to go, so they've got a bit of a way to go. But here's the thing, you see. If you pledge $1 or more, thanks for your contribution to the battle against the evil empire, but effectively piss off. They don't give you anything. Pledge $10 or more, our thanks and your name hand-engraved by a lightsaber-wielding Jedi onto the business end of a proton torpedo. Sorry we can't send you the torpedo. It's meant for special delivery to a Death Star. If you pledge $5,000 or more, you seriously need some medical help. And it's a lightsaber-building workshop that you can go on. Learn how to construct your own lightsaber. We provide the Jedi guidance, power cells, caliber crystals, and tools. Please note, we cannot be held liable for loss of limbs or property damage due to the mishandling of lightsabers. This reward is not offered to the Sith, however. And pledge 10,000 or more, become a Jedi training camp with Master Yoda in the swamps of Dagobah. And get to eat grubworms, wear Yoda-like backpacks, and lift heavy objects using your conviction and the power of the Force. And last but certainly not least, face your fears and confront the dark side. A vacation to remember. Note, does not include the round trip in stellar transport. Now, despite the fact that that's all jokey stuff,
people have put real money into
this.
It's
real. It's not a joke.
I'd settle for just a lightsaber.
I know lightsabers could do a lot of damage.
Yeah, I know, but they'd be cool, wouldn't they? A really good.
No, Sarah says she's willing to give
one of my kids a lightsaber, and people will get hurt.
Sarah's saying she's willing to give $10 and accept a lightsaber.
I just wish to.
Yeah, righto.
I'm sure they do something for about that price.
Righto.
But what's more important, are the batteries changeable?
Yes, absolutely.
And, good point, Alex.
And you need a lightsaber that'll last you through an entire duel with the Sith. You can't be doing with it frizzling out halfway through, can you?
Can you imagine halfway through and you have to put your Morphe juice pack on the bottom of it?
Well, no, that's the point, you see. That's where the solicitors have cocked up, because they would have to unscrew it to change the battery, and Sarah would as well. Whereas the younger members of the panel here, like Richard,
going up their arm.
They'd have a juice pack that they'd shove in the bottom, and then it would just start up again. So there you go.
That's true. You'd be dead. Hang on a minute. I just want to change my battery.
So we've got to shut it. You're shut dead. It down.
I'm sorry, I'm over 35. You're just going to have to give me a minute.
Bugger, I've got a blue screen of death on this lightsaber.
I've got to reboot. Hang on.
Excuse me, would you mind stopping being a gentleman and letting me change the batteries?
I'm sorry, this one...
Give a man a fighting chance.
You have to let me update.
Yeah, there you go. See if you're honourable, you do it. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by the UK2. Stop talking over the sponsors ad, Sarah. There's a good girl. UK2.net. They keep us afloat. Simple as that. If you want anything from them, every service they sell, we've got an offer code for. That's how good it is. You go to BritishTechNetwork.com, you click on sponsors, you click on their logo, you use their offer codes, and we stay on the air, because otherwise we disappear. We haven't got enough money to keep going without them. While we're on that point, if you'd like to give us a donation, we'll take it. Now, there's a suggestion that we've got, because it's by the network of beer, that's supposed to be the cost. We're not going to piss it up the wall, I promise. It'll go towards technology and that kind of stuff, and the bash. It won't go towards beer for me to drink each week. Do promise.
Goes to extra batteries.
But support UK2, because they support us, and we'd be stuffed without them. There we go. Right then. It's Cool Thing. James, you're going to start us off, as ever?
Before Cool Things... Marissa Mayer news, ladies and gentlemen. She's been talking... Share prices in Yahoo have gone up over the last... They do love her. They love Marissa Mayer. She says that they want to cut down the offerings of Yahoo mobile applications from about 75, just 12 or 15. There we go. Marissa Mayer news this week. It's a jingle and everything. Right, sorry.
Thank you, Nurse Gladys Emmanuel.
I've got an ice cream.
A couple of little bits and pieces. Does anybody know about Pomodoro?
No. Yes.
Sounds Italian.
Just that's right,
it is Italian. It's Italian for tomato, I believe. Essentially, there's a new kind of working regime where you spend 20 minutes concentrating on a task and then you take 5 minutes break. And it's basically a kind of way to regulate your work, keep your focus. In this day and age, it's a very good thing. There is a... If you can't cope with the self-discipline of focusing for 20 minutes and then doing something, you can use an interactive third-party game to get yourself rewards and points and things like that. So it's like Farmville for working. And it's called Pomodorium, Pomodorium.com. And it's a bit of fun. Or the only reason I've posted it is because I do like the concept of Pomodoro. I haven't actually been able to concentrate on anything for long enough to be able to do it. My boss at work would probably not be pleased for me to know that. But this is a really interesting way to be able to serve, even if it's kind of like getting your kids to do their homework and just work, get them into the idea that it is possible to focus on something for more than 5 minutes without alt-tabbing to a bloody YouTube video, which my son does. He'll be doing his homework, and every night he'll just go, I go, are you watching a YouTube video again?
What, right, you haven't got screen sharing?
Oh no, no,
James! You could just use a watch.
You could use a watch, but if you want to make it fun, Pomodorium is the thing to do. The second pick is a very quick one. It was a conversation that Johnny Winter and I can't remember who else in the it was Neil Cochrane. While I was on there was a discussion about mail and how whether mail is a dying art, email. And I said, well, this is fantastic thing.
Species of human beings, and half of us.
Not male, as in email, not male. Our males are a dying genus. Yes. There's something called mailboxapp.com, and they've been very clever because it is a truly beautiful app. One of my colleagues at work's got it, and it makes email more usable because you can file something away and it'll pop up with a reminder.
Is this the one that there's a stupid queue for?
There's a queue for it, which I think, in marketing terms, is pretty impressive.
What a pile of shite.
If you are 500,000th in the queue, you will get it in about a week. So I mean, it's actually not that long to
wait. I wouldn't queue for a loaf of bread if it was the last one in the shop, let alone a frigging application I've never seen.
You need Pomodorium. Keep yourself focused at the task at hand until you get yourself the mailbox.
I've got to say,
mailboxapp.com.
Based on tonight's show, you lot have lost the bloody plot. The look, shite that you've spoken about tonight, mate. Good grief.
Do you want to know how much I've lost of plot? This is my stupid video of the evening. It's if you go to tiny.cc/stupidmario, this is the thing that my son was chuckling at earlier, and I had to tell him to just stop it and get on with your homework. tiny.cc/stupidmario. I've stopped now. I'm not going to spout any more crap. Thanks for the support, Ewan.
You're welcome, James. You know I love you, really. Alex G. Fox, come on, mate.
Oh, okay, very simply, I bought something, and it's quite good. It's okay, in fact. Oh, secondly,
don't gush, dude. Don't gush.
Firstly, in fact, I noticed, and I can't remember what it's called, because I emailed it to myself because it was really cool. Very occasionally, because of that appsgonefree.net thingy, appsgonefree the app. I got an app thing today, and I don't know if you ever used it. Smart Office 2. It's an iPhone and iPad app. But, you know, it's pretty good. You can make, you know, office documents, compatible office documents, and you can open them and play with them. And it's normally about £6 or £7. But right now, and I don't know how long for, so hopefully it will be still for free when it does come, you know, when this gets put out to those that aren't in the chat room. But right at the moment, it's Smart Office 2 is free. So, you know, it's sort of £6 or £7 because I can't remember at the moment. But it's free, so it's worth having a look. Right, my actual pick.
Is there a queue?
Is there a queue? You know what? I don't think so. I'm number one in the queue every time I press the button. Right, what I bought, I'm not sure why, but I'm sort of glad I did. It's called a Tascam IXZ audio interface. And what it is, it's an audio interface for your iPhone, iPod. It'll probably work on any Android device as well that uses the single connector. So it's a 4-pin 2.5, is it? Or 3.5 mil jack. So it's got the headphone and microphone built in. And it's got it built in. But what it is, it's an interface that allows you to plug in guitars. It allows you to plug in microphones. But it also takes two AA batteries. So you can actually plug in your XLR microphones. And it's got phantom power. If you do any sort of podcasting is a good example of using a decent microphone into something that's got, you know, a reasonable quality of recording. I was playing with it the other day and I just recorded some things using a proper microphone using the iPad, and I was amazed at the quality of it. It was really good. I mean, it's not cheap. I mean, I don't think I paid £39, but it's £39 now at Amazon. But there's something that gives you phantom power, gives you XLR as well as normal mics, gives you guitar inputs, and, you know, it's not exactly big. I mean, I can show it on the screen because of I have that ability. Obviously, it's not as thin as an iPhone because it takes batteries. But, it does everything you like, and I just thought it was a nice little thing to carry around with the iPhone. I want to sort of, not necessarily audio boo, but I want to record some of my thoughts, and if I'm ever going to publish them, I thought I might as well record them in some sort of quality that would be useful. So anyway, so it's a Tascam IXZ mic and guitar interface with phantom power for your iPhone.
And it's half price at the moment, £40. Very good value.
Yeah, it's not for, if you haven't got £40, don't go out and spend it because you haven't got it. But if you're looking for anything like that, it's not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Sarah, what have you have got for us?
Mine is also a audio interface. It's a little device that I discovered a while ago, but I realised earlier on when I was thinking about what to have a cool thingy, that how reliant I am on these things, and they're really good. It's a little Behringer USB to composite, not really composite, what's the red and yellow, red and white thing that allows me to take stuff from my mixer, which is, because everything is audio here, and that's what sends the signal down to British Tech Towers through my laptop stuff. These things are great. It's, you know, just plug it in, works solid as a rock, does a job brilliantly. I've got several of them floating around. I can't find the other one, unfortunately. I can't show it to you, but unfortunately on Amazon at the moment, for some reason they've got some kind of dispute going on, but I can vouch for this product. It's really, really good. Rock Solid does what it says on tin, about 28 quid.
Excellent. Thank you. 28 quid.
Can't argue with that.
Need to save up for that one. Richard, what do you have for us, buddy?
Little thing that I got for myself. I don't know, can you see it okay?
Yeah, I can't.
I can't see my feed.
Belkin.
It's called the Belkin Flip Stand. it's for the iPad, but it'll fit anything. And I'll just show you the release mechanism because I love it. It's just, look at that. Beautiful.
Oh.
And there's nothing powered in that. That's just the way that the springs and weights or whatever inside are balanced.
Didn't do engineering at school then.
What, sorry?
Didn't do engineering at school then.
No.
Good lad.
But I love the way
I just really hope you don't say that kind of thing with medical stuff to your patients. I have no idea how your arm raises up, but it's just amazing, isn't it?
Amazing, isn't it?
Great way to instill confidence.
Yeah. So you can see probably there in the profile, you've got, I measured it, it's a 1.5 centimetre gap there. And you can stand anything in that. I mean, the iPad stands in it beautifully, but I imagine most tablets would stand in it. Your phones can stand on it as well. Whatever you like, really. And it folds up really nice and compact to take around with you. 13 quid. Lovely.
Excellent. Made by Belkin, who aren't renowned for charging very little.
I think you can get it for more than 13 quid if you want to. But
Chris W, what have you got for us, Mr. Woods?
Right. I was playing with this last night, and I'd known about this.
This is a family-friendly show, mate. Make sure.
Oh, what?
This is a family-friendly show. Just
No, don't be like that.
Okay.
Well, I saved that for the F1 show. So anyway, I got a camera. It's a great camera. It's fine. It's perfect. Nothing wrong with it. But it would be nice to do some more stuff with it, a little bit more finesse with regards to video bit rates and some more features. I do miss things like zebras coming from shooting video. You know when it's overexposed because you've got a zebra. Anyway, there's a third-party add-on for Canon firmwares called Magic Lantern. You might know about this, Ewan.
Yeah.
It's free. It's not entirely without risk, but it's so simple to install.
It burns your sensor out if it's an old sensor.
It's just amazing the amount of features that it adds back into the camera that you think this should have had it from day one, and it just works really well. It's got loads of really useful video specific functionality that you can add in, but as well for taking stills, it's got some really nice additional features. You can do things like trap focus, rack focus. That's just two of the things that bring to mind. You can do spot metering. It's got all kinds of really sophisticated color metering, graphing. You can kind of check your footage for color grading. You can do HDR with a single button push. It's brilliant. It's just such a wonderful piece of coding. And it was black box reverse engineered, so there's no problems with breaking warranties or anything like that, because they didn't themselves break the terms of the license in, you know, cracking apart the original firmware. It's just a really, really good idea. Oh, but the best thing, my favourite thing about this is that it has a full user guide in the memory. So you can have a valid excuse for chimping. You are reading the documentation. Every single thing that's in the firmware is now on the camera. It's stored on the SD card. So if you're ever not sure how to make something work, you just go and review it on the camera. It's such a good idea. Why don't they do that? Why doesn't everybody do that?
You look like you're reviewing your photos, but actually you're reading the manual. I like that.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
I have to say, I've got a 400D, and I've been tempted. If it wasn't my only camera and the one my wife uses, and she does use it in auto mode, if it wasn't the fact that it might screw the camera up, I've been so tempted to put that on because it looks brilliant.
Do it.
Have you done it on yours then, Ewan?
No, I'm not stupid.
Oh, but it's so simple, and you don't have to actually have to flash the camera because it just sits on the SD card. So even if you put the SD in a different camera, it just won't boot the firmware because the firmware knows that it's not for the right camera. The only way you can brick the camera is by setting an invalid setting for one of the things by manually going in and forcing it. But you can still recover it from a brick state. It's fair. I mean, they class it as stable on their own website, and there's really, really easy instructions to follow to set it up, and it just works. It's nice when something just works, like a good old school watch. In fact, that's my cool thing. A good old school watch.
Right. Do it, James. Yes. Do it. Brick that.
I'll report back.
Brick that okay, camera.
I'll cross my
brick,
wife.
Brick the
it.
Watch.
Brick it.
I'm not going to brick the camera. I can't afford a new one.
I've got two to talk about. First one. Now, I'm the first one to out crap customer services and online retailers. And I want to say well done to one that's not. And that's Bournemouth Cycle Works. They are a cycle shop down in Bournemouth, funny enough. Picked them up on a Google search. Was desperate to find a skeleton housing for my GoPro. Two of them, actually, for a job that I'm doing tomorrow. I'm videoing a little conference. And I placed the order online. Within 10 minutes, I'd got a call from them saying, got a slight problem. We thought we had two of those. We're sorry that we fulfilled the order. We've only got one. Do you want us to just send the one or what? I said, well, look, I need it by Thursday. If you can get it to me by Thursday, get the two of them. I'm fine. But you're the only place that I can find that's got any in stock anyway. And he said, let me make a phone call. 10 minutes later, he rings me back and he says, yeah, I've definitely going to be able to get one. It won't be here till Wednesday, but we'll dispatch it Wednesday, first class, you know, special delivery, and you'll get it Thursday. Haven't charged me a penny extra for it. Fulfilled the order. It arrived this morning. Saved my bacon for tomorrow. So well done, Bournemouth Cycle Works. If you want any GoPro stuff, give them a shout out and try them. They're at B Cycle Works on Twitter. And tell them we sent you, because they're a good bunch. Well done to them.
Customer service lives.
It does. I'm the first one to criticise it, but if it's good, I'm the first one to shout it out as well. My pick is Million Short. You're going to love this. You know how you want something in Google and you put in, I want this, and all you get back for thousands of pages is someone trying to sell you some crap. Well, Million Short, you put your search term in, and it works just like Google. It's not particularly different, I don't think. But you can change how many results you want to exclude from the search. So you can get rid of 100. The top 100 don't appear. You can get rid of the top 1,000. They don't appear. The top 100,000, the top 10,000, the top million. You can get rid of the top 1 million returns for the search term you put in, if you're putting something in where someone just wants to sell you something when actually you wanted to find out information, more Wikipedia-like. I've had a play with it in the last couple of days, and it is really, really good. You can put stuff in where normally someone's coming back trying to give you some crap, and you just change the search criteria and just get rid of 10,000 returns, and all of a sudden you've got information there as opposed to someone asking for your credit card. It is brilliant. Love it to bits. 1 million short. Just Google 1 million short and you'll get hold of it. But it's, I had the web page up a minute ago.
When you Google 1 million short, do you have to go to the 15th page before it comes up?
No, funny enough. It's
Alex.
Million short, gb.millionshort.com. There you go.
May I just, I was trying to speak to Chris and I realised I was on mute. Earlier in the week, it may have only been yesterday actually, Chris put out this brilliant tweet with this brilliant website that I did play with for a little while, but I didn't keep reference, so I was hoping Chris did. It was the website that you tweeted out that gave you a CFAX version of your Twitter feed.
It's so simple, but it's so delightful. It's called TweetFax.
I love it.
TweetFax, right.
One.
I like to think that it's the Twitter interface that TBL uses himself. You just go on and you just sign in with OAuth and boom.
TWEFAX, is that it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And another advantage, I mean, it's nothing that's going to change the world, unlike CFAX, but the beauty of it is that it's fast. So if you're on a machine that isn't very powerful, first of all, it doesn't look like Twitter, so you can tweet it from work, haha. And secondly, it loads snappily. So,
yeah, apart from if you're in a tech job, they'll fire you for trying to get onto CFAX.
I've got a bit. It did leave me with like a warm, fuzzy feeling while I was watching the feed coming down. I was like, you know, yeah. What? It's a mixture of it's. You know what it is? It was like I was sitting when I was like 10 years old, sitting in the front room of my parents' house, playing. You know. Waiting for the numbers to come round every 2 hours, you know, when you put in the page you wanted. But I was like back there again, but looking what people I wanted to read, what they were saying. And it was such a nice mixture of the two parts of my existence. One, you the old gittedness, which obviously being over 36, I suffer from. And and the, you know, actually maybe wanting to know something that happened within the last 40 years. And it was just a lovely mixture of the two things. So I enjoyed it.
But if you actually want to just fully immerse yourself in CFAX, then just go to CFAX.tv.
Jolly good.
And off you go. I spent hours on CFAX.tv. It's incredible.
This production of 1975 was brought to you by UK2.net.
And the digital watch.
Oh, yes. LED or LCD?
Oh, LCD, of course.
LCD, of course. We'll be back again next week. It's the big show. I'll try and turf up and dig up a few people who are a little bit more current than this lot. And we'll talk the week's technology news. Where can we get a hold of you, James?
You can get hold of me in 1985.
with 1.12 gigawatts.
Yes, I'm on Tweefax at Syzygy, S-Y-Z-Y-Z-Y.
Cheers, mate.
Very good.
Alex, Grumpy Fox, I mean G-Fox, where the hell are you?
Oh, working far too hard, but quite enjoying it. I'm good on lad. Alex G-Fox on Twitter, making a damn fool.
Thanks for rushing back, mate, and thanks for not having tea before you came on.
Go
and
get something to eat. Minute.
Yeah, good lad. Sarah, where are you, missus?
You can get hold of me at Old Fart on Twitter. No, seriously, you can get hold of me at Sarah Jane UK on Twitter.
Good girl. Your youngness, Sir Richard Harkness?
at Rich Harkness, are you getting it .co.uk and also on the podcast Back to the Mac every week.
Excellent. Where do they get Back to the Mac?
What's that?
Where do they get Back to the Mac? There's no point in coming on and promoting yourself and not saying where they get it, mate.
Oh, sorry.
You'll get this, don't worry.
iTunes?
No, what's the have you got a web page?
Yeah, it's Q Broadcasting. I can't remember the website off the top of my head, though.
You really should have prepped, shouldn't you?
Q-U-E Broadcasting, Q Broadcasting.
/ anything, or just...
Probably Back to the Mac. Sorry.
I'll give you a minute.
If you type Back to the Mac podcast into your favourite search engine, that's the easiest way to find it.
And what happens if you exclude the first million searches? Do you then find it at the top of the list?
You find last week.
Because the promotion's awful. Christopher, where are you, buddy?
Well, you can find me sometimes on Vine looking for pictures of kittens. Aside from that, kittens, on Twitter. Kittens, yes. Kitten, look, not kittens. Everyone has to look at porn on Vine. And then you can find me, Christopher, wah for winner on Twitter. Then you can find me down the vintage watch shop buying old watches. This one has three hands.
You know they made the G-Shock after that one? When I was 17.
Don't be dismissing this watch. This cost £90 when this watch was new.
19 or 90?
19, 90.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, but that's because the technology was new at the time. They'd only just invented
hands. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, 1994. Yeah, all right. Yeah, flipping out.
Rich, where can we find you?
You can get it. Just Google Back to the Mac, and it's the podcast. It's the first one you get.
Rich will be back on next week. He'll have the web URL for you. Don't worry, we'll stick it in the show notes. Thanks to Miles Wheatley, who does the show notes for us. They get them on Snotes. We'd be lost without Miles. And if all of you could put your pics in the doc, that would be really helpful for Miles, rather than him having to listen to all this rubbish to get them. And also thanks to Mac Jim, because Mac Jim is our news hand, and he goes out and finds a lot of the stories that go in the doc. So cheers, mate. Thanks very much. Alex, you were saying...
Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing. You can now also get me at Alex Old Fart on Twitter. Just while we were talking, I just signed up for it.
Good night. Instant follow.
Right, please say the first dozen tweets are kind of typos and is this on?
You have to be a grumpy old bastard on that channel. You can't write anything positive at all.
I'll probably just swap my...
Oh, good point. You can just be yourself. Good lad. Yes, I'd forgotten about that.
Yes.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Really, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.